How about this?
They call me Dr. John.
Dr. John Cooper Clark, that is, and you're listening to James Shake Shack on vinyl. Some or other.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Vinyl Revival with me, James Shakeshaft, here on LSR. Opening the show just now, you heard the New York Dolls with Personality Crisis, taken from their 1973 album Trash. And amazingly enough, we are yet to have had anything from the New York Dolls until now. And that is a real shame, probably the only band from the CBGB circuit not to have been on the show. And that number there was written by David Johansson, and get this right, I had no idea that Johnny Thunders was in the New York Dolls. How stupid and idiotic of me. I'd only explored his solo work, but what a cracking performer he is, Johnny Thunders. Which reminds me, a couple of weeks back, I was doing some office work in a 9-to-5 job. Can you believe that? And I got speaking to one of the workers about what does CBGB stand for, or even better, what does OMFUG, which was printed on the canopy of the dingy nightclub. I had no idea, but after a conversation I had during a brief stint there, it was brought to my attention that CBGB stands for Country Bluegrass Blues, which is reasonable if you ask me. But OMFUG stands for Other Music for Uplifting Gourmandizers, which means a voracious eater of, in this case, music. Well, now you know. Another day, another dollar. So yes, it is episode 2 of the Vinyl Revival, Monday night, 2300 hours, taking you up to the midnight hour with me, James Shakeshaft. And on tonight's show, we're going to be taking a trip over to 706 Union Avenue, Memphis, Tennessee. Sun Studios, to cut to the chase, looking at the past of this historic label that changed the game of rock and roll, rhythm and blues and country forever. Creating artists such as Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis and of course Elvis Presley. But through looking at the story of the label on this particular episode, we're going to be hearing some of the lesser remembered releases that still deserve their fair slice of sharing. As well as this, we will of course be playing our Charity Shop 7-inch of the week, selecting our wind down record and of course a classic LP for our virtual collection, and as we struck a match and started anew last week, with it being episode 2, the letter of course is B, so get your thinking caps on. We're also going to have poetry from Tim Key, and feel free to get in touch throughout via any media platform that has your heart's desire. And I'd like to kick off by saying a big hello and welcome to family members listening from across the pond in Lanzarote. It's good to have you on board. I hope you're having a splendid trip, and I think this is a reoccurring theme now. This definitely isn't the first time that this has happened, so I'm going to play this next number for you. So through doing this over the course of the next hour, we'll have music from The Prisoners, Charlie Feathers, The Miller Sisters, Jimmy Rogers, but first kicking off this week's theme of Sun Records, A Boastful Love Number, from Billy Lee Riley, My Gal Is Red Hot, Your Gal Ain't Doodly Squat, I Say. Take it away, Billy.
My gal is red hot, your gal ain't doodly squat.
Yeah!
My gal is red hot, your gal. Well, I got a gal 6 feet four, sleeping in the kitchen with her feet out the door. But my gal is red hot,
your gal ain't doodly.
Yeah, my gal is red hot,
your gal ain't doodly squat.
Well, she ain't got no money, but man, she's really got a lot. But my gal is red hot,
your gal ain't doodly.
Yeah, my gal is red hot,
your gal ain't doodly squat.
Well, she ain't got no money, but man, she's really got a lot.
Your gal ain't doodly.
Yeah, my gal is red hot.
Your
Billy Lee Riley there with one of the best backing vocals of any record I certainly own. That was Red Hot, kicking off the theme of Sun Records here on episode 2 of the Vinyl Revival. How is everybody doing on this dingy, dark Monday night? Some people absolutely hate their Mondays, but I personally can't see why. Monday's a fantastic day. We get the ball rolling for the rest of the week, and if you go at it with high spirits, it's bound to be more successful. So, Sun Records, founded in 1952 by Sam Phillips, an aspiring record label owner who had a past in law, radio, and also worked with a couple of other record labels, one of which was called It's the Phillips, alongside Dewey Phillips. And for those who don't know Dewey Phillips, let me give you the 411. So Sun Records releases were regularly championed by radio disc jockey Dewey Phillips of Memphis WHBQ. And he was a man well known for his rambunctious, off-the-cuff personality and outlandish behaviour. That's for the time. He used to play records that told such tales as drinking too much liquor and killing your woman, as well as saucy numbers like that one you just heard from Billy Lee Riley. But on a more serious note, he was the first DJ to play both white and black R&B on his shows. And when I say R&B, I'm not talking about R&B as you trendy youngsters know it. I'm talking about rhythm and blues, the real deal. And something like this that seems so little really took American music into its next phase. And there's a story of a young teenage girl who would listen to Dewey's shows, hearing music by a young Elvis Presley. And she thought that for years Elvis was a black performer, and that's because the songs that he was singing were all written by black rhythm groups earlier on in the decade. So Dewey Phillips really had a big hand in the success of Sun Records, as he was a platform in which to share the music, because back in them days Sam Phillips would drive all across the country with records, handing them out to distributors, radio DJs and record shops. He'd drive thousands of miles every year just to push his artists, because it wasn't as simple as it is nowadays. With the click of a button you can have it shared with the world. But it's good that personalities like Dewey Phillips were around that could facilitate such a thing. So let's have another obscure Sun Records piece now from a girl group that I didn't know of until recently. And why, I don't know. They're called the Miller Sisters, when in actual fact the girls were actually sisters-in-law. But the Miller Sisters-in-law didn't have the same ring to it, but it didn't matter either way, because record sales for them were a flop. And after this next record, you'll be begging the question, why? And there really is no answer that I can give. Producer Sam Phillips believed that the Millers' vocal harmonies, complemented by the steel guitar solos of Stan Kessler and the percussive electric guitar of Quinton Clouch, that's quite a name. He thought that that would translate into significant record sales. However, the group did not score a hit. And rumour has it, well, no, fact has it, that there's recordings of the group that were never released, as the genre of the time was moving more towards rockabilly. But not to worry, because I've got a song for you. I've got a song for you now that will more than satisfy your eardrums. A hatred-fueled breakup song, and I'm telling you now, I'm glad that I wasn't the man on the receiving end of their message. This is the Miller Sisters from 1955. This is Someday You Will Pay, and I believe them. I really do.
Darling, since you went away, I wish that I could die. Feel so lonely night and day since you said goodbye. You told me once you loved me, dear, but now you're going away. You may think you're having fun, but someday you will pay. Someday you're gonna be lonely, someday you're gonna cry. You'll be so broken.
absolutely outstanding vocal harmonies there from the Miller sisters, and to be honest, I cannot understand for the life of me why their record sales were so diabolical, but after this was the case, they were dropped from Sun Records, and they went on to work in such things as churches and families, if that's a job, if you can call it a job. But yeah, the Miller sisters there with Someday You Will Pay. James Shakeshaft here on Vinyl Revival. It is, of course, a Monday night, 1:15. There's still 45 minutes to go on the show. We are still going to have our charity shop 7 inch of the week, Wind Down Record Classic LP. We're also going to have a poem from Tim Key, but the theme is Sun Records, so please keep on getting in touch with your favourite Sun releases and I'll see what I can facilitate. Now, Sun Records swore by their motto of "We record anything, anytime, anywhere." And this was not a lie. Just to keep the doors open in the early days, Sam Phillips was recording everything from weddings to funerals. He says anything that was half legal. So it's funny to think about the impact this label had on the world of popular music, because really it is unmeasurable. Sure, there would have been bands like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, but they wouldn't have been the same as they were without Sun Records, and the only independent label from them days to still breathe in 2015, which is quite a statement. You ask anybody who knows anything about anything, and they've heard about Sun Records for one reason or another, and it's usually Elvis Presley, but there's a lot more when you start digging, as hopefully I'm going to show you over the next hour. There is no style of music more easy and difficult at the same time than to play other than the blues, and anybody can play it, but not anybody can play it right. And at this time in Memphis, most of the blues players were black, and Sam was the first person in America to facilitate and showcase this talent, giving people of poverty a purpose and a home. And this next record is one from a black musician named Joe Hill Lewis, who was renowned for being the only one-man band signed to the label, as well as performing as a session musician with other acts. And this really is a raucous foot stomper, another boastful love song now from Sun Records, which is a reoccurring theme. Gonna play you a number now that's short and sweet from Joe Hill Lewis, and the name of that song is She May Be Yours, open brackets, but she comes and sees me, close brackets. And I tell you why, I don't blame her for coming to see you when you play music like this.
Yeah.
tell you what, when you think of a one-man band, that's not what you think of, is it? That was Joe Hill Lewis with She May Be Yours But She Comes To See Me, of course, released on Sun Records, as that is the theme on this episode of the Vinyl Revival. James Shakeshaft back in this seat for the third year running, that's right, it's a hat-trick. And not the kind of hat-trick that makes you millions, but it'll do for now. We're going to go down a side street now and take a little tangent because this news has just come in and I feel like I need to share it with you guys. It's good news, may I add, I don't want to scare you. So, a lot of you people in Leeds will be familiar with the fantastic venue, the Brudenell Social Club, which has just been labelled the best music venue in the UK. That's right, they've won an official award, so hats off to Nathan. He's really done a fantastic job with that place, keeping the Leeds music scene alive. It's one of the only places in this fair city that still books bands of a high quality. So really happy for him there. We always champion bands that are passing through and play them on the show. But the theme is Sun Records, so without going too far off tangent, I'm going to bring you back into the room. So Sam Phillips and his artist had successfully merged white country music with black rhythm and blues to create a new sound. And Elvis made 5 singles for Sun Records, each of them combining a blues song on one side with a country song on the other. But are both sung in the same vein. Each release got more and more attention with a snowballing effect, and it's clever thinking there from Phillips, because you can't please everybody all the time, but you can please some of the people some of the time, and this premise got them one step closer. Because at this point in America, everything was segregated, and you could segregate everything apart from the radio dial, as someone once famously said. And I think that's quite a good quote there. So everything from the sound to the logo was instantly identifiable as Sun Records, and this distinctive branding of the label that shines strong to this day, and indeed the logo, was designed by John Gale Parker Jr., a resident of Memphis and a high school classmate of Phillips. And it really is a timeless logo, and it's a difficult thing to get right, but it still shines strong to this very day. So before you hear the Charity Shop 7-incher this week, it's now time for our next record, and it's one that I wanted to save for my annual instrumental special, but with me wanting to play the obscure releases from Sun Records, I couldn't keep this cat dead until then, so I've sacrificed it. But either way, you were going to get to hear it, so it's a win-win situation. It's by Jimmy and Walter, and it's one of the finest examples of how to get the most out of your tin sandwich. And by that, of course, I mean the harmonica. So take it away, Jimmy and Walter. This is Easy on the Vinyl Revival. Stick around after this. We've got the Charity Shop 7-inch of the week. Thank you. crikey, that makes my hair stand on end. And what you just heard there was Jimmy and Walter with Easy. And now time to take a break from our Sun Records theme, because at any opportunity given, you know that I like to insert a bit of spoken word into my shows. So as promised at the beginning, I am now going to do a reading of a short poem by Tim Key, who is speaking this coming weekend at Manchester's Literary Festival. And it's a wonderful blend of Spike Milligan and Carl Pilkington, for anybody familiar with their work. And then directly afterwards we will of course have the Charity Shop 7-inch of the week. So without further ado, this is a poem by Tim Key that has no title. Let me take this away. Glenn ate 9 apples, and by apples I mean fags. And by 8 I mean smoked, and by 9 I mean 20, and by Glenn I mean me. And now, like clockwork, it's time for our Charity Shop 7-inch of the week. I just slipped that one in there because I know a lot of you like the poetry as and when I can provide. But you heard the advert, it is of course now time for our Charity Shop 7-inch of the week. Don't worry, we'll be back to our theme of Sun Records in just a few moments' time. So this week, as usual, I have excised another scruffy 7 in the hope to give it a new life. And this wish is one that will be fulfilled in just a moment's time. Now, this is a song that somehow slipped by me throughout my time listening to the band, and is sort of sandwiched in between 2 singles releases that I'm very fond of, both of which have been played at least once over the past 3 years of presenting this show. So how on earth did I miss it? And I'm an idiot for doing so. You'd be right in saying that, I wouldn't argue. It tells the story of a young girl's acid trip, which takes place in a number of places, one being a field across the road from the well-known chocolate soda brand Yoo-Hoo. She then begins to fly as the story progresses, and if it were any writer other than David Byrne, this would require some sort of explanation or justification. But as it is David Byrne, let's just leave it at that, shall we? You guessed it right, the Charity Shop 7-inch of the week this time comes from a band, Talking Heads. You know them well, don't you? And it's taken from their album Little Creatures and was released in 1985. And who in the right mind would take this into the Charity Shop? Because it's an absolutely fantastic single. So let's give it one more spin and bring it back to life for this moment in time. And you know the schedule by now. Next it's the Wind Down record, and then we'll be right back on track. This is our Charity Shop 7-inch of the week on episode 2 of the Vinyl Revival. This is Talking Heads, and the single I'm talking about is And She Was.
Thank you.
A slight change of tune there with Talking Heads, and she was. And if you ask me, that was Tina Weymouth's performing at her absolute finest. The bass line in that song really ties everything together is very in keeping with the David Byrne throwing a spanner in the works with a questionable key change that pays off. Absolutely fantastic record, and as I say, God only knows how that slipped by me, but it's in my life now, and hopefully it's in yours too. James Shakeshaft, episode 2 of the Vinyl Revival here on Leeds Student Radio. Still 25 minutes to go, and you just heard the advert. It's now time for our wind down record, one of my favourite parts of the show, because it's one of them features that really gives you free rein. And the song I'm going to play for you today is one that I've wanted to play for a long time, and I've saved it for a special occasion, and then I realised special occasions don't always appear in front of you. And you need to create a special occasion, so that it is. So it's now time for our wind down record this week, courtesy of Bobby Gentry. And you all know the purpose of this feature by now, which is to de-stress, declutter, detox through an audio medium. However, this week's wind down record is rather contradictory. Despite being a lullaby, it is rather dark and deranged, if you ask me, and it's more of a nightmare than a sweet dream, but it's too ideal not to play. This bed doesn't help things, it's making things sound eerie. And you guessed it, the name of the song is Hushaby Mountain, which is a ballad by the songwriting team Robert and Richard Sherman. And it appears twice in the 1968 Albert Broccoli motion picture Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And that's as an idyllic, I can't even pronounce words anymore, that's as a lullaby sung by Dick Van Dyke to his children. And in that it's a little bit more light-hearted, but the instrumentation really takes this down to a new low. Versions of the song were also recorded by Steel City's Richard Hawley, who I'm going to be seeing actually in a couple of weeks' time, but this isn't the version that you're going to hear. This really is a masterpiece in terms of composition, and it sort of tiptoes around your eardrums so not to alert your senses and disrupt your train of thought. Sounds perfect, don't you think? But we'll see what you're saying after you've heard it. And Gentry rose to international fame with her intriguing southern gothic narrative Ode to Billy Joe in 1967, which tells the tale of a murder and disposing of the body off the Tallahatchie Bridge. But for our wind down record now, one of her more avant-garde numbers, so take my hand, close your eyes and come with me now to Hushaby Mountain.
A gentle breeze from Hushaby Mountain softly blows o'er Lullaby Bay. It fills the sails of boats that are waiting to sail. It isn't far to Hushaby Mountain, and your boat waits down by the quay. The winds of night so softly are sighing, soon they will fly. Close your eyes on Hushaby Mountain. Wave goodbye to cares of the day and watch your boat from Hushaby Mountain sail. Thank you.
Blimey, they don't make them like that anymore. That was our wind down record, and are you sleeping yet? Thought not. Absolutely haunting. Bobby Gentry and Hushabye Mountain, and I'm glad I finally got an opportunity to play that one for you guys. James Shakeshaft here on the Vinyl Revival. The theme now, we're back in the room, Sun Records, that's correct. The seminal record label based in Memphis. And we're going to move on to a band now with a very interesting story, and the name of the band is The Prisonaires. And the reason that they're an interesting group is because they were bound by the jail cell bars incarcerated in the Tennessee State Penitentiary in Nashville. The group was led by Johnny Bragg, who had been a penitentiary inmate since 1943, when at the age of 17 he was convicted of 6 charges of rape. And the Prisonaires were formed when Bragg joined up with 2 prison gospel singers, Ed Thurman and William Stewart, each of whom was doing 99 years for murder. So a combination of very dark characters. And 2 new penitentiary arrivals, John Drew Jr., 3 years for some sort of crime, and Marcel Sanders, who was only in for 1 to 5 years for involuntary manslaughter. But I think manslaughter's one of them things, it's black and white, involuntary, how does that work? Anyway, I won't question it, that was the setup of this group, and don't be put off because the music you're about to hear, it's so pleasant, it can't be written by them, but it certainly was. And the group was discovered by radio producer Joe Calloway, who heard them singing whilst preparing a news broadcast from the prison, and he arranged for the group to perform on the radio, a performance which was eventually brought to the attention of Sam Phillips of Sun Records. How perfect. And he arranged for the group to be transported under armed guard to Memphis to record. A few weeks later, just after hearing it, and Just Walking in the Rain was released and quickly sold 50,000 copies, which was a monumental achievement for Sun at that time. But the work he must have gone to get them into the studio is outrageous. They won't allow anything like that these days. And I know what you're thinking now, here's a story that sounds like it was devised by Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen or some nifty television producer to tug on the heartstrings of gullible bystanders that believed the sob stories of today's X Factors and other such drivel, but this was real life back then, real life. So after a comment made by Bragg as the pair crossed the courtyard whilst it was raining, Bragg said, allegedly, "Here we are just walking in the rain and wondering what the girls are doing," and Riley suggested that this would make a good basis for a song, and within a few minutes Bragg had composed 2 verses. However, because Bragg was unable to read and write, he asked Riley to write the lyrics down in exchange for being credited as one of the song's writers. Versions of the songs have been recorded by the wonderful Johnny Ray, but for now, a Sun Records theme special, we're going to stick with The Prisonaires. So from 1952, this is a fantastic record, keeping things mellow on the Vinyl Revival, Just Walking in the Rain.
Just walking in the rain, getting soaking wet, torture in my arms, by trying to forget, just walking in the rain, so because my heart still remembers you. People come to windows and they always stare at me, shake their heads in sorrow, say, I'll remember. have changed. Somehow I can't forget. People come to windows and they always stare at me, shake their heads in sorrow, saying, who can that fool be? Just walking in the rain, thinking how we met, knowing things have changed. Somehow I can't forget.
Simply beautiful. That was The Prisoners with Just Walking in the Rain, and it's now time to draw the theme of Sun Records to a close for now. But it will certainly be something that we revisit again in the future. But before we go any further, I'd like to say I was playing that last record for a good friend of mine, Max, who's listening intently from his attic, as he did last week also. So that one was for you. Thanks for tuning in, and hopefully you'll be with me for the rest of the year. So 1 hour just isn't enough time to spend with these incredible releases, and we're going to end now with Charlie Feathers' One Off. One of the country artists that were signed to the label and quickly fizzled out as rockabilly became the music of the time. By this point, Sun Records had become a major force, almost becoming a national label, and unfortunately its slate of talent left the label one by one, and it wasn't replaced by artists of similar stature or talent. So by 1963, Sun was pretty much back to square one and the status of a regional label. And Sun Records later went on to be bought by another businessman, and Sam Phillips walked away, but he wasn't out of pocket. He was a very wealthy man after investing in other businesses such as motel chains that were based in the southern states. But after it was sold, Sun Records really did die as we know it. So I thought I'd play one by Charlie Feathers, as I say, one of the country artists who was sadly dropped quite quickly because country music was an old man's game. And it very, very much is to this day, but hopefully there's a few people out there that will see light in this song. Because it really is like all the oomph of Hank Williams and then a bit more, but that's all down to the production team at Sun Records, who seem to do that with every single release. So closing the theme now on Sun Records is Charlie Feathers. After this, we're going to of course have a classic LP, and we might even have time to squeeze in one more tune for you. But for now, from 1955, this is I've Been Deceived. The B-side was Peeping Eyes, which is definitely worth checking out, but I can only play one, and this is the one that I'm going to play for you. Closing our theme on Sun Records, I've Been Deceived.
I've been deceived. There's no use denying I was fooled by kisses. Yes, we talk and you're lying, but so what we saw, and your harvest, darling, will be bitter tears, I know. Oh, I've been deceived. day I'll see. Oh, I've been deceived.
So yes, we have got time for one more record. That was Charlie Feathers and I've Been Deceived, closing the theme on episode 2, which was Sun Records. And I'm squeezing this record in because I promised that I'd play a Jimmy Rogers tune last week but didn't have time, and it only seems appropriate to play this song now, as when the clock strikes the midnight hour, it will be the anniversary of the recording of this song. It was recorded October 20th, 1928, which is quite a long time ago, but I tell you what, this song still goes strong to this day. And we've been apart for what feels like a lifetime over this summer, so it really is good to be back after this bleak excuse of a summer, and I cannot wait to fill you in on the musical items that I've acquired over this period. And one artist in particular that has been a regular fixture throughout my summer drives and explorations has been the Yodeling Brakeman, aka Jimmy Rogers. And this man offers one of the loveliest vocal tones on the market, accompanied by his modestly performed guitar. Now, Jimmy was one of the first musicians, if not the first to my knowledge, to write his name on the guitar's fret spanning across the length of the neck, much a long time before Hank Williams and Cash did it, but let me know if I'm wrong. So, on this day in 1928, Jimmy Rogers was knuckling down in the studio and recording this piece now, California Blues, and I tell you what, I wish I could go on this trip with you, Jimmy. It sounds so inviting knowing that the season changes in full swing. Let me come with you to California. I've got the California Blues.
Going to California, where they sleep out every night. I'm going to California, where they sleep out every night. I'm leaving you, mama, 'cause you know you don't treat me right. Oh, lady. While I sing you this song, listen to your daddy sing you this lonesome song. You got me worried now, but I won't be worried long. Let me tell you something, mama, that you don't know. Let me tell you something, good gal, that you don't know. I'm a do-right papa and got a home everywhere I go. Oh, lady. Got the California blues, and I'm sure gonna leave you here. Oh, Lord. Got the California blues, and I'm sure gonna leave you here. I may ride the blind, I ain't got no railroad fare. Oh, lady. What makes you treat me like you do? I can't understand how come you treat me like you do, 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 do. Now if you don't want me, mama, it's a cinch I don't want you. Oh, lady.
The groove that band have near in the end is just one of a kind, isn't it? That was Jimmy Rogers, and that was California Blues, and I couldn't agree more with him. Recorded on this day in 1928, so I'm happy to have squeezed that in. So, it's now time to put another classic LP into our virtual collection under the letter B, and another band yet to be played on the vinyl revival, named after the famous Talking Heads lyric. I am indeed talking about Radiohead. Which, if you ask me, falls under the category of a good band name, along with my other favourites, which coincidentally are the Talking Heads, Black Sabbath, but number one for me, are you ready? Is Devo, which stands for De-Evolution. Just brilliant. So let me know some of your favourite band names, but I think that they just work. But I'm going off on a tangent. The album that's going into our classic LP this week, under the letter B, is of course Radiohead with The Bends. And many a times this has gone into the top 50 albums of all time, quite close up to the top 10 spot, and I couldn't agree more. Released in 1995, came out on the Parlophone record label as well as Capitol, and it made the band a nice little retirement fee. So yes, that's our classic LP for now, and thank you ever so much for being a part of episode 2 of the Vinyl Revival. This particular episode will be up over the coming week on the Alien Airwaves for you to listen to at your disposal. And I really have enjoyed putting together this Sun Records story for you guys. And I hope you've enjoyed the music that I've had to play for you, but for now, I'll see you next week, same time, same place, different records. And you know the drill. I've been James Shakeshaft. Our closing record is Just by Radiohead, and this has been the Vinyl Revival. Tatty bye.
Do it to yourself.